This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Virginia Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli, who this week has requested that his case against the federal government and specifically the individual mandate be fast-tracked to the Supreme Court. Back in December, a federal district judge in Virginia sided with Attorney General Cuccinelli, saying that the individual mandate was unconstitutional. Virginia's case is unique in that its legislature had actually passed a law forbidding the government to force people in that state to purchase health insurance or face a substantial penalty. And Mr. Cuccinelli, thank you so much for your time today.
Glad to join you, Greg.
Why did you decide now, in the few days after this decision in Florida, which basically rendered the same decision on the individual mandate and actually throughout the whole law, did you decide to try and fast-track your specific case to the high court?
Well, it could hardly be clearer that there's going to be a split among the courts on this. And this is not an ordinary case for your listeners' benefit. There's no witnesses. There's no documents or exhibits. This is pure legal argument. So where the appellate courts might in other circumstances refine the record and filter all the material and refine the legal arguments for the Supreme Court, there's really no opportunity for that to happen here. We're essentially just going to re-argue the same legal arguments at each level. And given the fact that this has massive financial implications for the entire country and is based on a constitutional principle, whether or not, or question, whether or not the individual mandate is allowable under the Commerce Clause, it fits very nicely in the Supreme Court Rule 11's requirements for an expedited case. It is massively important, has huge economic consequences, and even the federal government in their brief in the Fourth Circuit recently acknowledged this. Even though they won't agree with us to expedite it, they have put language in their brief that says essentially the same thing.
As you know, the Department of Justice has vigorously opposed this. So given the fact that the government doesn't want to fast-track it, what do you think your odds are of getting it fast-tracked?
Well, this is always something of a long shot, if you will. They only do one or two of these a decade, literally. However, if you look back through the kinds of cases they've done over the years, the healthcare case easily exceeds in significance and impact many of the cases they've done on an expedited basis over the years. So if there's a case for it in recent years, this is it, and it really does come down to a narrow set of arguments, all legal arguments, none dependent on the fact pattern. So it's really ideal in that sense. It's a very clean case to be expedited.
One of the ideas that a lot of people are suggesting here, the reason the government doesn't want to fast track this, is that they believe the longer the law has a chance to sit and have people consider it and people become more familiar with it, that then support will build. Recent polls suggest still nearly 60% of Americans want it fully repealed. So what do you make of that strategy?
Well, you know, as then Speaker Nancy Pelosi said, now that we've passed it, we can learn what's in it. And the president was promising his party, oh, you know, pass this thing and I'll go sell it. Well, the more people learned about it, as the speaker said, the more they disliked it. So that strategy, you know, they may actually believe it, but it hasn't worked for a year now. I'm not quite sure why it should start working now.
You mentioned before, sir, that you believe that there are huge financial implications here. Explain what a year's difference or roughly that amount of time between having this go to the appellate level or fast-tracking to the Supreme Court would mean for businesses.
Yeah, that's an excellent question. Well, let's take our state government first. My biggest client is the governor, and over the next 2 or 3 years, his budgets are going to have to absorb $20 or $30 million worth of costs just to prepare to implement the requirements of this bill. That doesn't get one more person, one more Band-Aid. It doesn't do anything to provide health care. It's just administrative costs to prepare. That's just one state. And that doesn't even count the private sector. So you're in the billions of dollars for the state's budgets to prepare to implement this law, and hundreds of billions, presumably, for the private sector to prepare to implement this law. And so if you cut a year off, which is entirely plausible if it's expedited straight to the Supreme Court, then you've cut off the bleeding of those costs, and I can't give you an exact dollar difference of what it would be, but for Virginia, if we were expedited, I would strongly suspect that our governor would hold off on, for instance, implementing the exchanges, which is the biggest single cost that we're facing. We may do our own way, but we're not going to do it in the way that the feds are dictating to us.
Another question on the procedural aspect of this. Would you expect, if this were to be fast-tracked, to have the cases rolled into one, or is the fact that Virginia had legislation and laws on the books forbidding the federal government from forcing the mandate on your residents, that your case would be unique and stand alone before the high court?
No, that is actually not all that significant for these purposes. Virginia does have a statute that puts it in the category of 6 or 7 or 8 states that protect their citizens from an individual mandate. However, that really only affects whether or not they have standing, whether they're injured. And Virginia's law has been trumped by the federal law. So that's an injury to us that's unique. However, that doesn't affect whether or not the individual mandate is constitutional. That's a separate question that stands alone. And it's either constitutional everywhere or unconstitutional everywhere. You won't get a difference between Virginia and Florida, et cetera. And that is the substantive question in the case, at the heart of the case, and at the heart of the dozens of cases that have been filed all around the country. As a practical matter, if the Supreme Court expedites our case, I would rather expect them to take the other states up with us, and we'd all be combined into one case. That would be my expectation.
And one more question, sir, before we let you go, on a different topic, but one I know that you're aware of. We've been following the last couple of days the story of these videos at Planned Parenthood clinics, yep. One out of Richmond. I know the group Live Action behind those videos is asking for you to launch an investigation. Any decision that you've made on that front yet?
Well, any decisions to make and to do investigations that we undertake, we don't talk about typically. However, I'm aware of it, and I'm very concerned about the apparent willingness of people who are regularly supposedly providing one form of health care or another, or abortions, which I'd put in sort of a different category, but their willingness to help sex traffickers of minors at Planned Parenthood is very disturbing, and whether they've actually done it in other circumstances, we don't know, but we're looking at what options are available for our Commonwealth attorneys, who are the frontline prosecutors in Virginia, or our office, or some other arms of Virginia government. So we're cooperating with a lot of people and analyzing this right now. And as you know, it's only just recently sprung.
Sure.
So we're still in the analytical phase here.
Very good. We'll certainly be following both stories very carefully. Mr. Attorney General, thank you very much for your time today.
My pleasure. Good to talk to you.
Thank you, sir. Virginia Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.